Universal Basic Data Income. It's not just an idea. There's an app for that. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Okay, so when it comes to trading your data for free services like Facebook or Google Search or Gmail or Twitter, are you getting a fair deal? Well, a growing roster of people say no, and you should be paid for your personal information. But so far, no one's quite figured out how that could work. One startup is working on it. Two startups, actually. Digimi, spelled like Digi.me, is an app that lets you connect all your various online accounts. And it scoops up all the data they have on you and puts it in one encrypted location that you can control. And then a new company called Ubdi can, with your permission, pay you to share some of that data with companies or researchers. I know, you have questions. Dana Budzin is co-founder and CEO of Ubdi. Get it? UBDI, Universal Basic Data Income. First, I asked her how it works.
We do allow individuals to aggregate their own data across different applications and accounts like Fitbit, Spotify, credit cards, Instagram, etc. And then we give these people a vehicle to basically share anonymized insights from that data with paying companies and researchers and nonprofits. So with our application, we present individuals with different studies. Once you've linked your accounts, you're able to click in, view the details. It may include a question of a survey, which people are familiar with. It'll tell you, you know, Spotify listening to certain tracks, or we're looking at finance and we're looking at coffee trends. So we want to analyze Starbucks or Pete's coffee spending, whatever it may be. And then you swipe to consent, and that data is anonymized on your device, aggregated in the back end, and shared with researchers who obviously are paying you.
Got it. So then you, as the consumer, are pretty actively contributing, right? Like I, the consumer, am actively opting in and participating and getting paid.
Yeah. And that's just one thing that we heard. There's been, you know, with everything that in the data space that can be scammy, we really wanted to take the approach of don't just come link your accounts and trust us. You know, trust is at an all-time low. We get it. Everyone's been lying to people, corporations. There's no trust there. There's no trust in government, you know. And we really felt to build that trust, we wanted people to take a more active role and just be as transparent as possible. You know, there's these different groups of people, whether you're a female or a runner or a skier, different companies want to be matched with you. And because of the way that we've built this, we still protect your privacy and, you know, only show you studies that are relevant to you. But because of that, we can pay you more and let you take that more active role and not waste your time or your effort and make it pretty quick and simple.
How then do you protect that data? Obviously, you're talking about a pretty big treasure trove here.
Right. So our partner Digimi, they don't see, touch, or hold the data. They give you the only key to access this and then allow you to share that data with apps like ours when you choose. Mm. It's actually a two-app system, which is very non-traditional. And what it allows us to do is do a lot of edge processing and analytics on the device. So we're minimizing any of the data that leaves your device. And then what we call tags, it's called private match, right? These things that I've mentioned, you're a runner, you're a skier, you're a female, right? That's all kept on your device. So neither us at Ubdi or any of our partners know who you are. And we ensure that no profiles are being built on people.
And then just on the purely mercenary side of things, how much do you expect that a consumer could make participating with Ubdi?
I think for some people, it will be hundreds. I think for many people, it will be thousands. And then I think there will be other communities of people. Maybe it's in the future of medical data or whatever it is, some special things about you that make you unique, that thousands upon thousands of dollars, maybe 5 to 10,000.
And then let's be explicit about why would some people make more? Why is some data, you know, more valuable than others?
Yeah. So I actually think a lot of people think when I say that I fundamentally believe that rich people are going to get richer, right? And that's the concern, right? That they're like, oh, well, the CEOs are going to be the ones that people want to reach out to. I don't actually think that's true because some in emerging countries around the world, in places where there is a lack of data, right, in communities where you don't know where those communities are flawed or things that could help fix them, right? There's a lot of spend happening, whether it be through charities or governments or whatever, to find out how to boost communities up. And instead, they could just be putting that money into people's pockets because they know best, right? So I do think, of course, there will be the CEOs who someone might pay for an hour of their time and spend a lot of money. We're not shy about that. But I also think there's this opportunity for low-income individuals that are unique and are being, you know, quite frankly, studied across governments, nonprofits, and even companies themselves, that they do want to reach those demographics of people and haven't had the means to. So I think there's a lot of money in it for low-income families, and I think it's a really big step forward for where we are in this country and around the world.
What industry gives you the most business right now? Who's the hungriest for information?
So right now, the clients that we've been talking to, and I wish I could say names, but not yet. But the clients we've been talking to are mostly in the retail space, whether it be clothing or electronics. There's people that are just trying to find more, not even necessarily about customers that aren't shopping at their stores, but about customers that are, and what type of people are drawn to their stores, and what are they coming there for, and what do they like when they're in that experience. There's also a lot of customers that one thing we do very well is comparative analysis, where if you wanted to look at, you know, you were requesting individuals to say, I'd like to look at for females spending on Uber versus Lyft, right? And then I'd like to ask a set of questions on top of that on, are you picking your rideshare because it's safe, because it's convenient, because of price, whatever that may be. So pairing that data to see that maybe females find Lyft more safe, and that's something that we might have started to find. There's just these really unique things like that, that any company looking for some sort of comparative analysis between them and a competitor company, that's something we do very well.
And then how does Oopdee make money?
Yeah, so we take 20% of what companies are paying, and 80% goes straight back to the individual. So pretty easy transaction fee there.
And then I wonder, one just kind of last philosophical question is that sometimes when you talk about the idea of paying people for their data, you will have privacy experts who say, okay, but you're still buying into a flawed system. Like, you're still buying into a system that relies on people's data. And wouldn't it be better if we just didn't do that? And I wonder, like, is this still just sort of allowing people to participate in a system that's going to just want more of their information forever?
You know, it's interesting. For one, there's different nonprofits and other, you know, local governments that we're opening up access to and helping them. But also, part of privacy, which people somehow seem to forget, is about choice. And you should have ownership over your data, and you should be able to choose for yourself. So for them, go ahead and choose what is best for you in your life. But you don't get to make that choice for me. And so I think to those people, I want them to challenge us. I want them to hold us accountable. I've been active in different articles where they said other people wouldn't talk to us. And I said, go ahead, say, call us whatever you want to call us with data monetization vehicles. But at the end of the day, one, this is a step in absolute better direction than the data economy we have today. And part two, giving people choice, I think, is always the better path.
Dana Budzin is CEO and co-founder of Oopdee. And now for some related links. Budzin told us Oopdee has launched on Android devices, but they're still trying to get approval from Apple's App Store. Now, there is a lot that is interesting about this approach. At the end of the day, of course, it'll come down to consumer behavior and how many companies are willing to pay for this information when they could scrape it off the web, buy it from data brokers, or advertise on Facebook. But at least on the consumer behavior side, I mean, changing behavior is all about incentives, right? And actual thousands of dollars is a pretty big incentive. Over to Apple for a minute. Despite not approving Oopdee yet, the company is pushing its own privacy tools in the latest version of iOS. Over on our website, marketplacetech.org, you'll find a link to a New York Times article on how to take advantage of those. I've been trying out the thing where you can automatically silence calls from unknown numbers. My apologies to any PR people trying to reach me, but you're going to have to email me. Amazon also released a bunch of new voice assistant devices Wednesday in Seattle. And after controversy about how Amazon was apparently keeping some recordings and having human beings listen to them for quality assurance, Amazon made sure to mention that the new devices will have lots of new privacy tools, including my favorite, the ability to say, Alexa, delete my recordings. Sorry, I was trying not to delete your recordings. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Marketplace Tech helps you stay sharp on all things related to technology and the economy. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace pencil pack when you donate today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a different Marketplace quote, yours for just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thanks.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.